ते वासुदेवाय। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल आई वांट टू एक्सप्रेस माय ग्रैटिट्यूड टू ऑल ऑफ यू फॉर इनवाइटिंग मी हियर। एवरीबडी इज वेरी बिजी डूइंग मेडिकल प्रैक्टिस एंड lot of responsibilities are there. Still you have come to spend time to understand what is spirituality and what is the goal of life, who is God and what is our relationship with Him. All these are very important subjects in life. And as the time is advancing, people have less and less and less time for this. And everybody is getting more and more entangled and engrossed into so many things that are sucking our energy in life. Lifespan is decreasing. Depressions are increasing. Frustrations are increasing. So we have Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is over here. I would like to briefly discuss the personality of Arjun, who is the recipient of this wonderful knowledge. Arjuna is a member of royal family. That means his birth is a very high level birth. Everybody wants to take birth in a very, you know, aristocratic family, a famous family. Nowadays there are no famous Brahminical families, but there are famous political families. So Gandhi family, Bush family, like that. So we want to be born in that kind of family so we can be having high patronage, high birth. Huh? What is that? Of course. We don't have, that's why I told you, we don't have very great example these days. But Arjuna was born in Kuru dynasty. The whole dynasty led by Bhishma Dev, to begin with Shantanu, and then, oh, you know all the ancestors, how they went. And Pandu was one of the illustrious kings, very illustrious king. And Arjuna was his son. Mother Kunti Devi, one of the celebrated ladies in the history of mankind. Very few, one of the very few most elevated ladies, both materially and spiritually also. Then Arjuna also had his own personality, apart from his high birth that he had. He was very learned. He was learned in all the scriptures. It is not that he heard something which he did not know. Many a times we need to hear again what we studied before at a relevant proper time to somehow get it at right time and right way. He was very learned, that's why he was called as Arya. Arya means that person who has progressive understanding of life or who knows progressive values in life. The real purpose of life he knows, how to progress in that purpose of life also he knows, and to keep up with the highest standard of those values. So he's Arya. He was Arya. Then in his times, he was the world champion, that all of you know. There was a competition put up by his guru, Dronacharya. between the sons of Dhritarashtra and sons of Pandu. It was only meant for Kshatriyas. And he somehow turned out to be the best archer, Shrestha Dhanudhar of the whole world. In fact, he was expert in everything, but he specialized in bow and arrow, and nobody could defeat him actually. And his personality was such that everybody would study all throughout the day, practice, and he would study all throughout the night also. He would practice whatever he learned to perfect it before the next morning. And this was noted by his guru, Dronacharya. This fellow is awake all the night. He also had another capacity. He was called as Gudakesha. Gudakesha means one who has conquered over sleep. That is why after studying for the whole day, practicing for the whole day, he was able to also stay awake all the night and practice whatever his guru had taught to make it into a perfect situation. Nobody could do it actually. Nobody was knowing that he is practicing in the night. And also he was so keen on learning the finer aspects of his martial arts that he knew that his guru's son also was a student in the same college, in the same school. And his guru would teach him something very special, the son, at odd times when he would not be in the Gurukul. Some odd times, private times. And Arjuna found that also out. And Arjuna would reach out there also at odd times. So his guru taught him the same things which he taught his son separately as a separate private tuition. And at the same time he was very obedient. He never disobeyed his guru. He did all the menial services. You know, they have to cut the wood and go to jungle, serve the Guru Maharaj, and so many menial things a disciple has to do. And he was perfect in that. In all the virtues, what a disciple, what a student must have, he was perfect in that. He actually won the heart of his guru. That's why his guru taught him all kinds of intricate things which he would not teach to general students or maybe other Kurus and other Pandavas. And at the same time he was very, very handsome. Who doesn't want to become handsome? Tell me. Everybody is struggling and trying his best to look handsome and look beautiful. He was so handsome that the celestial woman Urvashi was attracted to him. And by the way, all of you should know, he was under a curse that time of being a eunuch. By whatever story was there. He of course he went there and then he became eunuch because Urvashi happened to be in the lineage of his family, and she was actually, if you go for technical relationship, she was supposed to be his grandmother. But she attained heavens and she was a beautiful apsara of the heavenly abode, where he had gone to achieve further higher weapons from Indra, his father. Because Indra was invoked by his mother and he was given birth by Indra. You know, his birth was very divine birth in one sense. He was born out of a chant of a mantra which invoked Indra, and Indra appeared and gave Arjuna as a son to Kunti. And none of these children actually violated Kunti's virginity. That is another point. Very difficult to understand in this age and day and age. So when he went there, Urvashi was so attracted by this earthly man. She was a heavenly woman and he was an earthly man. But she was so beautiful and so attractive that she proposed to him, "I want to marry you." So he said, "You are my grandmother. I want to offer my dandavat to you, for my pranams to you." So she said, "These calculations of grandmother and grandfather doesn't work here. I am a beautiful young woman, you are a beautiful young man. You must say yes to me." So he was very humble. He said, "No, I know you who are. I cannot just do this, although you are in a young, beautiful body of a heavenly abode. Still, I understand my relations with you. So mother, very sorry." So again he said, mother, she was very angry with him. And she cursed him that you will be a eunuch for 1 year because you have denied my proposal. She was overwhelmed with lust for him. So you can imagine his beauty. Generally speaking, in heavenly abode there are many things which we are all attracted to, of course. One thing is that their beauty is superfluous. We just cannot imagine the beauty of heavenly bodies. Number two, the lifespan is very long over there, which we are always desiring to live long and long and long. And long life in what? Long youth also. If you have a 1,000-year life, then you must be 300 years or 400 years young. Here in 25 years, our hair is becoming grey. And we get sometimes global heart attack also. And then there is no bad smell to the sweat that comes out of body. In fact, forget about bad smell. The heavenly bodies smell beautifully fragrant for about 2.5 miles radius around you. And you will have one fragrance, I will have another fragrance, men and women both. And you can imagine when gathering like this comes up, there will be only fragrances, mixed fragrances, just intoxicating fragrances around. And nobody smells bad at all. Everybody is so beautiful, attractive. And the power of enjoyment in that body is maybe millions of times more than what we have in this material world and on earth. If we can enjoy here a thing for, say, 1 hour before we get tired, maybe there you can enjoy hundreds of hours for the same thing. Your senses are multiply potent to enjoy a certain thing regarding eating, regarding anything, what you name it. In that situation, Arjuna was still attractive. Being an earthly man also, he was still attractive to a heavenly woman, Urvashi. You can then imagine only how beautiful he must be. I can go on describing his beauty to you, because so many women fell for him wherever he went. He married few of them, of course, being Kshatriya. But hundreds of them fell for him, pleading for him, wishing he would be my husband. But he was a very great personality of principles. Then another thing in his personality was that he was very famous. As soon as he became champion in the world, he became famous all over the world. Along with fame, he also was very popular. He was loved by everybody. In fact, all the Pandavas, all his brothers. But he was something special, no doubt about it. And everyone loved him. And they always prayed and wished that he should be our king. And he always prayed that my brother Yudhishthira should become always king. There was no competition. He was so subordinate, so obedient, so respectful to his elder brother Yudhishthira Maharaj. Even him, they had lost all the power, they were moving in the forest. He was so respectful to him. Otherwise, generally speaking, if you are in power and in the successful situation, there is a lot of respect. And then you come down to a zero position, then nobody respects you. But still, Arjuna and younger brothers respected Yudhishthira all the time, in success and failure, all the time, so-called failure. Generally what happens when you have high birth, high education, great beauty and lot of knowledge, lot of wisdom, what it makes you? It makes you proud. Even if you have one of these things, you may be duffer number one, but you are very beautiful. You're so proud. There are so many heroines, maybe not gone to school or maybe have little here and there education. Speak good English, but education-wise may not be at all highly qualified. But so much pride is there, so much money comes because of that. Somebody is very ugly looking, but he has got 4 PhDs. He's so proud. Somebody is not having physical strength, physical beauty at all, but he is in a high position. Maybe he is a prime minister of some country. That gives him pride. And somebody is just famous, so many people are following that person. All these things generally make a person proud. But in spite of having all these great qualities that all of us will yearn to have, you know, whether we are doctors or engineers or politicians or family members or businessmen, we all like to have these things in life. that I am beautiful, I am highly born, I am son of so and so, I am very rich, I am very highly educated, I am famous, I am influential, I am powerful, I have a very strong, big position, I can do things which others cannot do, I am very expert, I am very skillful. All these things we are always yearning for, whichever position we are in, whichever profession we are in. But in spite of all these things, having all those wonderful things, in most superfluous understanding, not that, and I am also very famous, but my fame is so limited actually, who knows. I go out of my hospital, they will dash me in the local trains, who cares who you are. But he was superfluously famous, beautiful in every comparison and everything that you can imagine. But in spite of that, he was very humble, very obedient, very respectful. He never violated any principles in life. He was such a personality that everyone would like to have. It is said, Vidya Vinayena Sampanne. A person who is educated, who is learned, he becomes more attractive and more beautiful when he is humble. If somebody is proud because of his education, then people know, oh, I know, he is very proud. He is a very good doctor, he is very skillful, very experienced. But look at his pride, the way he talks and the way he treats his subordinates, his students, how he makes them slog for him, how he makes them serve him menially. But if you see your professor who is so learned and so senior and is so humble in dealing with juniors, very respectfully, he will call them with respect, not like are ture, e tu, aisa nahi bolenge. So your respect for that person goes millionfold, because you see, he has all the qualities to be a boss, but he is so humble and so respectful. Arjuna was like that. So in every respect, Arjuna was a great personality. And then he had many setbacks in life, you know. His brother lost in gambling match, and he lost everything, all property, everything. Generally, a great person who is very successful, when he goes through a failure, there's a disaster in life. All his qualities appear to be useless, all his skills appear to be useless, all his intelligence appears to be foolishness to people, because you're a failure now. Failure makes you actually lose all the good things that you have. Although you have them, but you don't feel great for them. You feel disastrous when you have those things, but you are in a failure. So what was great about Arjuna and Pandavas was that although they went through such a big crisis in life, but they never gave up their principles, their values, their respectfulness, their goal of life. They never just squandered those things because they were just a failure in life. They were in jungle, nobody would watch them if they would break principles. But they never broke any principles. That is another great quality of this personality called Arjuna. One who is celebrated as the greatest personality in the world, in the Kuru dynasty, and all the Aryavarta, they had to walk barefoot eating berries in the forest. They had to keep changing position, not that you get attached to one river and one tree and stay there only. They had to keep moving, fight with demons and fight with wild animals and stay awake turn by turn, beg food many times. You can imagine? A Rajputra, a prince of Kuru dynasty, had to beg several times. They had to stay sometimes incognito. They couldn't even disclose themselves who they were. They had to disguise as Brahmins and stay in a house, in a hut, to some people, beg along with them, and you know, so many things they had gone through. But the greatness about that even though they had such setbacks in life, they maintained their cool. They never got agitated. Duryodhana was trying to disturb them in that period also, putting up his camps next to their hut, wherever they are in the forest, and having all enjoyments and women and wine and good foods and dancing, and you know, trying to tease them, trying to really ridicule them. Look at me, look at you. They still tolerated. And then when they were incognito, Karna and Duryodhana planned that we will steal the cows of this kingdom. So they are very virtuous people. When the cows are being stolen, they will come out. You know, they cannot hide their incognito situation. And we will then declare that, see, we found you. At that time, he was supposed to be a eunuch situation, that 1 year. And in that situation, he fought and single-handedly defeated all the Kuru dynasty. Everybody who fought in Mahabharata war, all of them he had defeated alone, including Bhishmadev. He released Sammohana Astra, the hypnotizing Astra. And by that, including Bhishma, Dronacharya, Karna, everybody was unconscious. And then he pulled everybody's upper cloths. It's like insult, you know. When somebody, you win over, you pull up their top cloth and you take them as your achievement. So he gave that to Uttara, Uttara's King Virata's daughter, as gift to wear to her dolls. such personality he was. But all those great wars that he fought was not as great as Mahabharata war. It's like, you know, you excel and excel and excel and go on excelling, and further you go to a final situation. It's like ultimate excellence that you will achieve. So although he had fought great memorable wars victoriously, this war was like ultimate war. And the whole world was divided into two parties. There was no party except Balram, neutral. Only Balram said, okay, I want to go to pilgrimage. So he went away. But every single person who was Kshatriya on this earth was either here or there. And plus, on Pandava side, there were less number of people. And more number of people were on the other side. And big, big people like Dronacharya and Bhishmadev and Karna and Shakuni were Maha warriors, Maharathis. They were on their side, so-called wrong side. And at that time, this great personality got bewildered. Because he thought, okay, now everybody is assembled, let me go and first see who is in the desire to have the kingdom, in the desire to have power, in the desire to win over, who has gone on which side, let me come and see. So he said, Krishna, as you have become my charioteer, I request you, take my chariot in between the two armies. Senayor Ubayor Madhye. So Krishna took him. And then he saw, oh, his grandfather, his guru, all worshipable people on opposite side. His relatives, his uncles, his brothers, everybody standing, desirous to fight and kill and to win the war, to get power over the sovereignty of the world. And here are the brothers, there are the brothers, their uncles. Who was not there, who was not relative. Everybody was relative. Suddenly he got bewildered. He had not gone into such a situation in such intense way previously in his life. And that is where this great scripture took birth. It's not that this scripture was not taught to him in Gurukul. It was taught in very general way. And Itihasas and Puranas and Vedas and Ayurveda, Dhanurveda, all kinds of things that need to be learnt to live this one life wonderfully in a very high quality. Everything he had learnt. It was not that he was not knowing any of these things, that he was not this body, he was spirit soul, and the Lord is supposed to be connected to, you have to serve the Lord, and this is the highest way to serve the Lord is by devotional service, and this is karma, and this is jnana, this is yoga, and this is Ashtanga Yoga. So many things were not that he was not knowing it. But the point I'm trying to make here, because I can just go on glorifying Arjun. What a great personality he was. All of us would like to be like him. Even for sake of our own aggrandizement, we would like to be like him. What he did not have that we don't want to have. Everything he had that we want to have in us. But even such personality, was so successful in his life, in other ways, needed to listen to this scripture. At the most opportune time in his life, he is going to fight his lifetime battle, the ultimate battle. There is no other battles after that. There were battles, like Rajasu Yajna, they had to go in four directions and get sovereign control. But most of them, they were all favorable kings, they were just giving them taxes and say, yes, 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 we love you and we accept you as our king and please let Yudhishthira Maharaj be the king and we all will be subordinate to him. We don't have any problem. We love you all. There's no question of war with you. That was like, you just have to just get sanction from everybody. Yes, you can do Rajasu Yajna. That they did afterwards. But this war was the ultimate war. So it's like the student who gets gold medal right from school, then in stands first in CET, All India CET, and then he gets in MBBS and first MBBS gold medal, second MBBS gold medal, final MBBS gold medal, then in post graduation CET also gold medal, and then MD also gold medal, and then he does PhD also the number one rank. The final exam comes and then he gets confused. He says, Papa, I can't write my exam. I am completely confused. I have forgotten everything. I don't know what I have read. You say, hey, what happened to you? You are such a career boy. All throughout your life, you have been shining. There's no fear. You're so confident. And now what happened to you? No, Papa, my mind is completely bewildered. My skin is burning. I'm sweating like anything. Tears are flowing from my eyes. I don't remember what I read. Then what your father will say? Okay, take rest. Maybe next time. Better luck next time. But there was no chance for him to have a better luck next time. This was the only time. And not that, okay, we can postpone the war by next 3 days. I will go to take CL and take sick leave. I'll go to doctor and maybe they'll counsel me. I'll call psychiatrist and counsel me. There was no time actually. There was hardly any time. Some people mention, I don't have a very valid and strong proof, but some people mention that it took about less than an hour for Arjuna. 45 minutes. This is our understanding. But very less time, so to say. Huh? If I were to study this Bhagavad Gita right from scratch, it will take me months together to really understand in essence, to be so much understanding that I can practice it next moment onwards in my life. It's not just to be mugged up in school competitions of chapter 15 and chapter 12, 8th standard, 9th standard, we are given the competition. We just mugged the whole slokas and we didn't know any meaning of those slokas. It was not like that. He was meant to practice it in next moment onwards. And the next moment was not in his house when he had wife and children and his day-to-day business of running the kingdom administration. It was war. War is not a very pleasant situation where you are sitting on the throne and giving instruction to people. People say, yes, sir, and they follow instruction. And then you call somebody else and give instruction. He said, yes, sir. He offers pranams to you and follows your instruction. And then some people come and sing for you. And some people write poetries on you. This is all happens in the kingdom, in Darbar. So it is not that he was supposed to practice what he learned before the war in a very peaceful, happy, routine situation which is fully full of respect and no danger, no intensity. Everything is so beautiful, enjoying. Now he was fighting a war, the last best war of his life. And it could be that he could be killed, or it could be that he could be alive. If he is killed, if everything is finished, if he is alive, then maybe his brother is the king. Everybody was knowing this, that if this person is defeated or killed, then our kingdom is 100% ours. We will become the kings. Everyone knew this. That if Arjuna is there, as long as Arjuna is there, you cannot say you are the kings. You have to target him. So everything was strategized against killing this man or defeating this man or making him invalid at least. Or retire at least, you know. Let him retire from the war. Somehow make him politically complicated in such a way that he will just retire. Like in between they killed his son. And he said, my son is killed. Before tomorrow evening, if I don't kill Jayadrath, I will enter fire. And that's what the Kauravas wanted. Easy elimination, without any battling, without any using your skills. So Krishna said, why you all take this kind of vows? He said, now keep searching for Jayadrath. They will keep him as far as possible for you. And they will just simply waste your time till sunset. And then sunset he will come laughing at you and you will have to enter fire because sunset is already there. Imagine, such a war he was fighting. It was just do or die. Such a great personality was. But the point I am trying to drive here is, even such a great personality, all of us would like to become like him, needed somebody to give this knowledge to him at the right opportune time on his life. So I learn and I understand from this that if he needs guidance from his so-called counselor, what is basically this is supreme counseling. A person who is highly influential, highly placed, most famous, most strong, most beautiful, most learned, is confused now about what to do. And there is a counselor coming up in the form of Supreme Lord himself. It was his fortune. All of us may not have that fortune of having Krishna as our guru, but he is guru of all of us, Adi Guru. And he spoke in such a way, presented the same essence of all Vedic knowledge in such a way that Arjuna could immediately understand it. And his skin burning, his sweating, his tears, immediately he rose from that so-called frustrating condition, picked up his bow and arrow again, and he said, okay, karishye vacharam tava, nashta moho svitir labdhva, karishye vacharam tava. Now my illusion is gone, I've got my memory back. Now I will do whatever you say. This is the result of Bhagavad Gita. If you have understood, if I claim that I have understood Bhagavad Gita, then I should feel like this, that now I will follow, karishye vacharam tava, whatever you say, I will obey, and I will do whatever pleases you. And he did all that. So in our life, we are doctors, we have practiced so many years, we have positions, we have influence, we have authority. But we also do undergo these situations which Arjuna is undergoing. Before it was a very taboo. Before it was a great taboo for a person to sit outside psychiatric doctor's clinic. Hey, kya ho gaya? Pagal ho gaya kya? Nowadays, all big CEOs are sitting for counseling. Because they have to take big decisions in life, and they get depressed and they get demoralized and they feel very worried and nervous. And then there's something called as boosting confidence and great arts of samupadeshan, counseling, is required by everybody. But all those counselings which we receive, materially speaking, in our life, they just boost up for some time to achieve some material targets. Here what counseling is being given is not only helping you to achieve material targets, but also will take you to spiritual heights in life. Will make everything clear to you, what is the goal of your life, what are you here for, who are you, from beginning from that, who is God, and who is, what is time, and what is karma, and what is changing and what is not changing, what is permanent and what is temporary, what is shashwat, what is ashashwat. All this high level of knowledge is given in this. And those people who follow even 1/4 of a verse of 700 verses in Bhagavad Gita, it is explained by Lord Shiva to his wife Parvati Devi that he will achieve the ultimate goal of life, that is kingdom of God, residence in the kingdom of God. If someone can follow in practice even 1/4 of a verse, whichever you like, that is the glory of this scripture. It is not something that by learning one textbook of medicine like Harrison, you will become an expert physician and any medical disease you will treat. That is very good, it's not bad. But that is only a professional side of your life. What of your life, part of your life as somebody's husband and somebody's wife, you may be utter miserable failure. I know so many doctors whom we are counseling in our hospital, successful physicians, successful cardiologists, successful surgeons, but a miserable failures at home level. Divorced, not getting along, short-tempered. The way they talk, because they are miserable in their personal life, so highly professional and successful in professional life. But as a person, even ordinary rikshawala in Vrindavan who stays in dham of the Lord is much better in composure than that highly qualified doctor. These are the facts. We cannot claim that because I am a doctor and I am expert in my field, I am best in everything. I am best in singing, best in politics, best in account, best in finance, and best in everything. That's what we think generally. If somebody is successful in one field, suppose a cricketer is very famous, he will be called for so many other advices on television, which is not his field, but he keeps giving advices. He thinks, I know everything now. Because I am a great cricketer in India, celebrated cricketer, I can comment on everything, Jyotish, Ayurveda, and health, and everything I can comment. This is what is going on. But this science will make you a best of person. as a person, as a human being, it will make you as an elevated personality in qualities, in principles, in understanding the goal of life, how to achieve the goal of life. And then you understand that what knowledge I am receiving through Bhagavad Gita is far, far, far superior than what I studied in medicine. When I started learning this, I came to a very frank realization, very frank conclusion, that whatever brain I needed to study all those big, big books of medicine, you know, anatomy in the first year, physiology, such big, big books, and medicine, Harrison, in third year, gynecology, surgery, love and belly, such big, big books. I definitely understood that to understand and read and go through these books requires a lot of intelligence and a lot of knowledge and a lot of memory to assimilate, you know, the essence of those books. But when I came across this scripture, I understood that much, much higher intelligence is required to understand what is given in this book. Because medical science, engineering science, information technology science, political science, whatever sciences we study, it is only making you perfect in one field. You may be successful as IT professional, and you may be a miserable failure at your home level. But you study such science, not only you become successful in your profession as a human being, but as a husband, as a wife, as a son, as a father, as a responsible citizen of country, of yours, as a human being, at all levels you excel. And more than all these things that you excel, excel and excel, which is important, you need to excel in things what you do. But before doing all those things in excellence, you need to be happy in life. Right? You may become gold medalist, but you are frustrated. What is the use of that? I can give you hundreds of examples of such people who are very successful. Like Michael Jackson, such a personality, my God. He had an island in somewhere in the world. He had $75 million worth yacht, which he would float in the ocean and travel in that. What? People would touch his hand. Whenever you touch people's hand, you know, when they meet people in some concerts, everybody just raises their hand and they all touch their hands in sequence. Many, many ladies would not wash their hands for 7 days because Michael Jackson has touched them here. So, achievement of life, you know. And he had done so much of plastic surgery and he had totally changed his face and you cannot recognize him now, at that time, of course. But you, all of you know what kind of death he died. He was proven to be homosexual, he would abuse children and whatnot. His final doctor gave him so many medicines. He was a psychiatric patient. He would be under heavy drugs to control his mind. Everybody wants to become like him, but you can look at his condition. This is actually what material life is all about. You excel in one thing and people want to worship you for that excellence, but in all other things you are a miserable failure. And the way he died, the way his body was, like, was 30 kilos at the moment of his death. And his doctor only killed him by an overdose of medicines. His millions and billions of rupees worth property, people were just robbing it, like lawyers and everybody. This is what material life is. But look at Arjun. He appeared to be a failure. He was walking in jungle barefoot. Hare, you prince, you great future crown prince, look at you. You're walking on the barefoot. You can't even eat cooked food. You're eating berries. You're begging. You're trying to save yourself from demons. You can't sleep in the night peacefully because somebody's on watch guard. And then you can take some rest and walk barefoot in pebbles and thorns and stones. Take bath in river. Don't even stay under one tree more than 3 days. Look at you, such a failure in life. Such humiliation they underwent. But look at their end. All that ends well, you can see that is the right thing to do. This is what in English proverb we have. But it made that English proverb to be true in multiples of millions of ways better than what one can understand by this proverb. All that ends well is well. It's just a simple statement. But those who underwent so much of calamities, so much of troubles, finally, their end proved the whole world that they were detached from all those things what they possessed actually. What was their proof? They lived in the forest, worshipping the Lord. They never gave up their worship. Have you read one line in scriptures, all over scriptures, in Puranas, Vedas, Mahabharat, that Draupadi was taking bad words for Krishna? You see, because of you all this happened. Arjuna is saying bad words to Krishna. Why this happened to us? Why me only? What wrong we have done? We are virtuous, we are nice people, we did good to everybody, but you made us go to forest. You tested us to the last brim. This is not fair. You never punished Duryodhan. Look at them, they are all bad people doing all bad things to everybody, and see how successful they are. They are enjoying kingdom, they are enjoying money, women, everything, authority, power. Did you never read a single line? That's one of them said anytime that Krishna, why you did all this thing to us? They always glorified him in happiness and distress, in success and failure. And one can say, oh, when you are miserable, unsuccessful, poor, you are very God conscious. When you remember God in life, then you are a failure, an exam is coming, when son's exam is coming now maybe, when daughter's marriage is about to be held, about to be matched with a proper groom, we all are very God conscious. Our temple is just close to a school, and when terminal exam has come, many students are there. Please, whatever I studied, let me write good answers for that. Suddenly, when difficult time comes, upsurge in temples to worship the Lord. But they were attached to the Lord unconditionally, in happiness or distress. So when they become kings, they ruled for many thousands of years. I mean, many hundreds of years. But when Krishna left the universe, as his stipulated time of avatar was over, he disappeared. As soon as that news came to Arjun and to Yudhishthira Maharaj, they just dropped their kingdom as you drop your clothes in the evening when they become dirty. Do you have any regret? When you come home with a lot of tiredness, the way you drop your clothes, you have no attachment to those clothes. You just drop those clothes, take bath and wear new clothes. You don't even think twice, oh, my beautiful red jacket, I have to remove it now. I don't want to remove it. I want to wear it all night. You have no regrets. Like that, they dropped their kingdom, all their power, all their position, all their authority, all their wealth. They just dropped and went to the north. That proved that they were not attached to any of the things what they possessed. They were just using all those things, their authority, their power, their wealth, their position, just to serve the Lord, just to be a humble devotee of the Lord. And all that, whatever they had in the course of time by the mercy of the Lord, they were using all those things for the welfare of people. Such is the quality of life Arjuna and his brothers, Yudhishthira Maharaj, they lived. Because they were constantly following in their life. Before hearing this and after hearing this, they were only following the principles given by the Lord. And that is why we need to study this scripture. If we take birth as human being and do not study this scripture, sorry to say, we can consider our life is a waste. Because in this life, we can earn money, we can earn qualifications, we can become professional, we can become successful. But when death comes to us, it doesn't ask you, were you a doctor? Were you a politician? Were you a minister in the government? Were you white-colored? Were you beautiful Miss Universe or Mr. Universe? It is said we will walk all the time in life with tight chest. Chhati phula ke chalenge. But when death comes, we have to be on the four shoulders of four people. Flat, horizontal. All life we walk vertical with inflated chest. And death comes, we walk flat, horizontal. And is there a difference between that? If George Bush or Barack Obama leaves his body, how he will be? Horizontal. If I die tomorrow, horizontal. If a young film star dies tomorrow, horizontal. But while the whole life, when they are living, they are so proud and going around everywhere. So at that time, when one is tested by the power of time, at the moment of death, what is death ultimately? It's a test of time. Now I am middle-aged, some of them is young, some of them are very old. is all power of time. The effect of time on us, which is very visible. Nobody can say, I will defeat the power of time. I will not let myself become old. So when that time comes, by the influence of time, nothing helps you. Your authority, your education, your degrees, your power that you had, your influence that you had, your contacts that you had, your money that you have, your property assets that you have, your relationship that you have developed in your life, you have large number of family members who are all around you. Everything that you think and you thought that will be useful to you will be your asset in your life in all the difficulties of time, difficult times. All those things appear to be a useless material in life. Gross or subtle, is that right? Whatever you think you have is your asset now. At that moment, all those things appear to be useless. And what is useful that time? Only the essence of this scripture. If one has understood the essence of the scripture of Bhagavad Gita, and that you are applying to your life at that moment of time, then even though everything appears to be a failure, your life is successful. Because that will unite you with the Lord. It will unite you with your true father, true master. And it will take you to a better situation, eternal situation, free from all those sufferings of life, free from all those repeated cycles of birth and death, free from all the miseries of life. This knowledge only will give you that possibility. No other knowledge, even if you are a cardiologist, we will not be able to save ourselves from myocardial infarction. We have example of Neetu Mandke, the greatest cardiologist, you know, he was building a hospital. It was a Mandke hospital supposed to be that time. He had must have done thousands of plasties. He must have penetrated thousands of vessels to save thousands of lives. But when he got his heart attack, he had to die in that. He couldn't even, he was giving instruction to his assistants. I'm coming, cath lab, keep it ready, keep this ready, I'm coming. And he was driving himself. And before he reached the hospital, he died on his wheel, steering wheel. So, this is how the reality of life is. Most cancer surgeons, cancer oncologists die of cancer. Psychiatrists, average lifespan is 50 years. These are all bare facts of life. Because the kind of stress they undergo, kind of things they go through. Ultimately, at the moment of life, at the moment of end of life, what comes to your rescue is none of these things. What comes to your rescue is your spiritual power, is your spiritual wealth, is your spiritual knowledge and wisdom that you have practiced throughout your life. While doing all these beautiful professional things that we do to help others, we need to practice for ourselves, for our soul, and cultivate this knowledge so that at the most opportune and most needed time that comes to us without fail, who can say that moment will not come to my life? At that time, this knowledge will be helpful to you. And Sri Krishna says, there's one verse which comes twice in Bhagavad Gita. Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam maskuru. The essence of Bhagavad Gita, if we want to understand, he says, always remember me. Never forget me. Worship me. Offer your respects to me. Do your work for me as a sacrifice to me. And thus you will achieve me without fail. Whatever you do, whatever you offer, whatever you worship, keep me in the center. And Pandavas' lives before hearing Bhagavad Gita and after hearing Bhagavad Gita were always exemplary of these activities, what Krishna is explaining in Bhagavad Gita. So Arjuna in one sense also accepted a position for the benefit of all of us. He became a bewildered student for the sake of benefit for all of us. It's not that he didn't know all these things. But the situation was arranged in such a way that the world could get the beautiful, pristine, transcendental knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. And Arjuna, being a surrendered soul, was used as a student. He was made into a student, bewildered student, confused student, having many doubts and questions. And Krishna chose to teach him as a student and through him to all of us. And look at the situation. It was not under a tree, in a Gurukul, in a nice beautiful ashram on the bank of a river, nice rainy season, greenery everywhere, and Guru is sitting on the tree and disciples are sitting under a tree in front of them, and they are learning Bhagavad Gita for a long time, peacefully eating their food nicely, berries in the forest, and very nicely learning. It's not like that. It is in between the war, such a tense situation. In few minutes you have to understand what he has to tell you and immediately apply to the life, that is next 18 days of the war. Of course, that time he didn't know 18 or 20, but he knew that number of days. It's very difficult, something to apply when you are at war. And don't you feel, all of us as doctors are kind of battling every time? When you are having triple vessel disease and you are on the patient on the table in cath lab, such a tension is there. They said the life of cardiologists and cardiac surgeons are such a tense life. Neurosurgeons, orthopedic surgeons, general surgeons many times, injury cases, accident cases, battle continuously. He had different kind of battle, we have our battles. Everybody is fighting a battle. Who can say he is not fighting a battle? Tell me. Even students today, first standard students are battling with their computers and they have so many exams which we were studying in 7th and 8th standard. Today's students are studying in 1st standard. They are much more advanced than our standard. They are also battling. Children who are supposed to play and really jump and enjoy their lives and sing rhymes and go merry-go-round, round and round, they are undergoing psychiatric problems nowadays. They have to be taken to child psychologists, they have to be taken to so many doctors to handle their mind because so much of stress is there for them. So right from young age to middle age to old age, everybody is battling with something in life. When you become old, you are battling with your ailing organs, battling with your aging body, graying hair. Topics may be different, but everybody is battling with something. In business, you are battling with your competitors. In medical practice, you are fighting, battling with your colleague, maybe to progress, to become the best. In family life, you may be battling with your family issues, of so many property issues and so many fights. So many things are going on nowadays. So if a person like Arjun needed this science, how I can say that I don't need this? And unfortunately, many people like me who are medical doctors or whatever you can say, they feel we don't need all these things. I don't need God. I don't need this knowledge. I'm fine. And then they boost themselves and they get intoxicated and they do illicit activities, they do malpractices, and they do corruptions and they do merciless activities, and they say, I don't need all these things. So the prime principle and the prime quality of Arjun is that he understood he needs guidance. He didn't say, I'm Arjun, I'm son of Pandu, I'm the great archer of this world, I'm most beautiful, most learned, most strong, indefeatable, no one can defeat me in any war with any weapon, I'm a best archer, but even in Gada and other things nobody can defeat me. He has so many attributes to him. None of them he put in front of Krishna while Krishna began speaking Bhagavad Gita. He said, please, what is the shloka? Yasyan nishchitam bruhi tanme shishyasteham swadimam tam prapannam. No more friendship now, Krishna. All the time you are my friend, I am friendly with you. Now I want to end this for time being. I want to become your disciple. Please teach me what is good for me, what is bad for me. Please teach me the goal of life. I am surrendered servant of yours. Syadi mam tam prapannam. Prapannam means I surrender to you. So he had that humility. In spite of all the great qualifications that he had the humility to accept Krishna, who is his friend, as his guru. And there onwards started flowing the transcendental amrut of Bhagavad Gita. Before that, what happened? 1.5 chapters, only he is speaking. I will not fight for this, I will not fight for that reason, this is the reason, this is difficulty, I will not do this, I will not do this. And after telling all these arguments, he was confused himself and he said, now I don't know what to speak more. My skin is burning, my Gandiva Dhanusha is flowing down, falling from my hand, I am fainting and I am falling in the chariot. Now you please become guru. No more hodgepodge talks now. Please come to the subject matter and teach me. I am your disciple. I am surrendered soul unto you. Please teach me. We need to pick up this quality in life. However big or long, you must have heard about Nelson Mandela. All of you know, such a famous personality. He was taking counseling from one of our gurus, His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Swami. He was also black African, So as a king, Nelson Mandela would regularly come for counseling with His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Swami. So who doesn't need counseling? Only we have to be humble enough to understand I need counseling and find the right counselor. His fortune was he found Krishna, who was his great friend, was concerned about him. But we also will find a true representative of Krishna if you feel the need. If you feel the need, he will send you a teacher. He will send you a counselor. Do not feel lowly of yourself that I need counseling. Oh, it's so shameful of me. I need counseling. I'm supposed to be my own teacher within myself. We have to give up this thought process. Even if one is healthy mentally, one should keep up a spiritual counselor. So that all the time when you need to progress steadily in your life, in your spiritual progress, we need a guide constantly. As a human being, it is said when we are born as human beings, our spiritual master is born somewhere also, or is already existing. Every human being is bestowed upon or benedicted by the Lord by having his own customized guru. Only when you feel the need, he appears to you in life. You feel, I don't need, he'll never appear to you. Like only when you feel that you need to get into medical college, you will start finding a predecessor, some acharya, some guru. If you don't feel, I want to become doctor, then you will not go to a medical doctor to learn things. Only when you need, the guidance comes to you. Only when you knock, the door will be opened to you. Only when you ask, the answer will be given to you. This is a fact of life. So what we need to understand, bhumika, the bhumika that we need to understand before we approach the scripture is humility. The desire to learn, the capacity to offer ourselves as student, humble ourselves. Then all that is desirable and good and best for us will be available to us. This Bhagavad Gita is only 700 shlokas. But in between each and every shloka, there are millions of shlokas. We say in English, reading between the lines. Bhagavad Gita is filled with lines in between the lines. And you read Bhagavad Gita at 25 years of your age, and you read Bhagavad Gita at 50 years of your age, it will give you newer and newer and newer realization. That is something which is most extraordinary. The same scripture you must have by-hearted, you must have given pravachans on a particular shloka several times, and the same shloka at the 50 years of age will give you new realization. Wow! You will be yourself amazed that I spoke on this shloka for several times in my life, several places and different kind of audiences I have taught this shloka, and this same shloka is now coming up to me with new realization, with new depth and new extent. It is enriching me. Like that, each verse is there in Bhagavad Gita. So significant, so powerful, so enriching and so nourishing. So that is why one can approach this scripture as a pandit, a scholar, and you can get a PhD out of it. I know minimum one person, and there are many people, but one person who's PhD in Bhagavad Gita but is non-believer in God. Completely doesn't believe in Sri Krishna at all. But he has a PhD from a recognized University of India, like from Banaras, PhD on Bhagavad Gita. But he doesn't believe in any of the shloka of Bhagavad Gita because he has learned Bhagavad Gita only as a literary scripture. It's only as a intellectual jugglery, intellectual exercise. The real student of Bhagavad Gita, who has faith in the Lord. And we have, that's why it is said, who can understand Bhagavad Gita in true way? The way Sri Krishna, the speaker of Bhagavad Gita, intended to teach Arjuna. There's a teacher and a student, right? He began with confusion, he ended with saying, whatever you say, I will do. If that result, that means we understand ideally that Arjuna understood it in the right way and he practiced and he was successful. We want to understand in the same way, Sri Krishna himself only explains, who is the qualified student of Bhagavad Gita? He said, one who is humble, one who is seeking, he is mumukshu, that means he wants to learn, and who is not envious of anybody else in the world, non-envious personality, and who considers the Lord as his friend and as his master. If you have these qualifications, then the scripture will be very easy for you to understand. Straightforward. But one is envious, one is very ambitious materially in life, one is very arrogant and proud. This is very difficult to understand. In fact, you will think that you understood it, but you will not understand it. It is this kind of scripture. It is not something like our medical books that we study in a straightforward way and practice. So I humbly request you that please accept this scripture, study this scripture in a very humble manner to make our life very successful, very enriched and very transcendental in nature. Transcendental means above the worldly level. Transcending means going beyond something. It will take you beyond the worldly levels of life, give you a spiritual understanding of each and everything that you come across in life. You will see things in different way if you understand this scripture and practice it in life. And as in more and more we become free from material desires, more and more newer lights it will throw in your life. That is the power of the scriptures. This is one scripture which all religions in the world, all great scholars of all other religions, all saintly people of all other religions also accepted as a standard spiritual literature. If I talk about Srimad Bhagavatam, some other Upanishad, they will have debate. Oh, we don't have faith in that. But you talk about Bhagavad Gita, immediately they will say yes. Bhagavad Gita means standard spiritual literature. And many people from other religions have studied this scripture to understand what is there in this scripture. So it's a kalatit, yani a scripture beyond effect of time. It was effective when Krishna spoke it to Suryadev Vivaswan millions and billions of years ago. It was effective when Krishna spoke to Arjuna on the battlefield. When Vivaswan spoke to Ikshvaku, it was applicable. And today, you and me study is applicable. I don't have to have bow and arrow in my hand. I don't have to be standing in the war, actual war, to understand it. Let me go into actual situation of Arjuna to understand it. Not necessary. My life itself is a war actually, constantly. Tukaram Maharaj said, Divas Ratri Amma Yuddha Se Prasanga. We are fighting with the world and fighting with the mind also, constantly within and without. War is going on. We don't have to stand in the warfare with the AK-47. We need to only humble ourselves. And this scripture will give you such heights in life, such satisfaction, such completeness. Your life will become paripurna, most complete and fulfilled in all aspects of life. Even in the middle of the material miseries of life, you will be blissful. That's another thing what Bhagavad Gita gives you. Your life is filled with miseries. It will never stop giving miseries to you. But the art of becoming blissful in the middle of difficult times, in the middle of crisis, middle of miseries, this scripture will teach you. And if I say this thing, it's like a beautiful dialogue, you know, you can note it down, oh, beautiful dialogue. But to hear the dialogue and to experience the same thing in your life are two different things. And if when you will come to know one day that I can be blissful in the middle of my miseries of life, that means you have realized this statement. It will make you so happy, and so happy and so happy, that life will just go on in its own way and I will go on in my own way. That power this book will give you. You want to go in a particular way. Everybody wants to see that in the middle of miseries I should be composed, I should be very serene and transcendental and spiritual and unaffected and composed. But none of us can do it. But if you accept Bhagavad Gita in your life, you can do it very easily actually. So many saintly people have exhibited in their life. You also can become experiencing personality like those people who have done it. None of us need to be saintly or saints, but all of you can experience the same thing what saintly people experienced just by following what they followed. The following opportunity is there. You may not be labeled as saint so and so, but the experiences and realizations what they got, you also can get, because this scripture is available to all. There is no bar. Nobody can say you can't take the scripture. But the entry within the scripture requires some qualities. If you adopt those qualities, the scripture will completely make you transcendental. So I end my small talk here. Thank you very much for listening to me patiently. If you have any questions, I would like to answer in my own little capacity.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for a nice lecture. Since we were discussing about Duryodhana and Pandava, I had this question for many years, but now it is an opportunity to ask you this. When Duryodhana challenged Pandavas for Yudha, for gambling, as a Kshatriya, it seems that Pandava accepted the challenge and they started the gambling. It's the wrong person is asking the wrong thing to be done with the right person. But how a right person can accept that challenge to do the wrong thing? That is my one question.
Sir, answer one by one before you put next one. You know, when times change, the rules also change, right? At our time, there are some different rules, some different etiquettes are there. But we are talking about times of Dwapar Yuga. And we are in Kali Yuga now, 5,000 plus years after that situation. And even 100 years pass, the etiquettes change, right? The way we live changes. The principles change. So in those days, a Kshatriya is not simply who picks up weapon. A Kshatriya is a person who cannot tolerate anyay, cannot tolerate injustice. That is Kshatriya. He cannot tolerate some injustice or some exploitation done by some stronger force to weaker forces. That is Kshatriya. And then they are martial arts, they have martial arts and they have admin power and they decision power and they are dashing, they are not fearful, they will die but not get insulted by somebody. There are so many qualities of Kshatriya. And when you are that kind of Kshatriya, the rule was, if a Kshatriya challenges you in war or in chess, you cannot refuse it. So from that point of view of social situation, what they did was right. From today's point of view, you will not accept it. But what Krishna taught us through that, how Krishna will teach all of us, he will always use his devotees to teach all of us. He used Arjun to become bewildered and become student, and then he taught him Bhagavad Gita. He used Bhishmadev, who was the greatest devotee on earth that time, the greatest personality, devotional personality. He put him on the wrong side and told the world, even if you are greatest personality like Bhishmadev, you will be finished if you are on the wrong side. Like that, he used Pandavas. He used person like Yudhishthir, who was such a virtuous personality. What is his name? Yudhishthir, one who remains sthir even in Yuddha also. That is Yudhishthir. He will never lose his cool. The greatest of calamities, he will be always virtuous, always straight in his life. Nothing will bewilder him. That personality, also when he indulges in wrong things like Dyuta Krida, like gambling, he will be finished. So Krishna is teaching us through every event, every activity that is happening in Mahabharata. Mahajanosa yajnagatasya pantaha. This is how the great peoples traverse their life. And this is what happened to good people when they did good things. This is what happened to bad people when they did bad things. This is what happened to good people when they did bad things. So we have to learn from them. Why they did so many things? It is for us to learn. They were eternal devotees of the Lord. They were just playing role actually. Even transcendentally, he is supposed to be, even Duryodhana was a great devotee of the Lord. But they all played their roles in their own way to teach us. Duryodhana, such a highly qualified person. After the war, what he would do? They will dine together. Today's India-Pakistan war, people will dine together in the evening after the war gets over. No, they will come and shoot you when you are sleeping. He is such a virtuous personality. He remembered the vow that he took, I mean the benediction that he gave Arjuna, that you saved me from Yaksha, so you ask for the boon, I will give you. He said, okay, I'll ask later on. So he asked for the 5 arrows which he had taken from Bhishma Dev to kill them next day. So Arjuna said, I want those 5 arrows. That boon you wanted to give me, now I am asking the boon. Immediately gave 5 arrows. Was it not a virtue? So we are talking about that age. Even so-called demoniac people were of some standard. And that was the social norm that time. But when, even if you follow social norm, when you do wrong things, see what happens. That is what is taught there. Draupadi laughed when Arjuna fumbled and he tumbled in the water. It was a wrong thing to do. So what if she is Draupadi? She should not ridicule somebody who is such a princely order personality. So he was insulted, although he was already a crooked man, plus insult. So he took it to his heart that I will take revenge on this lady. And he waited for the right opportunity. Whatever he did because of that insult in his mind. So one wrong action, one wrong gesture from Draupadi's side, how much it costed her? So it's a lesson for us to learn. However great I may be, however beautiful, however great queen I must be, of the king of Indraprastha. But I laugh, I ridicule somebody, there's a result of that. You can't say I am great devotee of the Lord, so I can afford to do wrong things because I am, my master is so great, who can touch me? If you do wrong, wrong will happen. You just still played gambling? Everything he lost. He hesitated to tell lies, he had to see hell for a minute. Krishna said, you tell that elephant is not killed, Ashwatthama is killed. He was hesitant. Krishna said, you say. Finally, Krishna had to play a trick with him. He said, okay, you tell Ashwatthama, Hato, Narova, Kunjurova. I don't know whether elephant or man. But Ashwatthama, Hato, he will say. So when he said Ashwatthama, Hato, yes, Ashwatthama is killed, Krishna blew the conch shell so loudly. The next line, Narova, Kunjurova, nobody heard. I mean, Dronacharya did not hear. Because Yudhishthira Maharaj was so attached to his being truthful and he was hesitant to follow the Lord's instruction, he had to see hell before going to Swarga. So even that kind of personality was not given excuses. Sir, you are my friend, so I will excuse you. Krishna is a very just personality. Samoham sarva bhuteshu. I am equal to all. I don't envy anybody, don't be attached to anybody. That personality is such a great personality. Our Lord. He is teaching us in this science. This is how it is. And you have to follow like this. What is the next question?
It was related to the same story actually. When the Yudhishthira was playing gamble, he is such a responsible person. But how he can gamble his own wife in the play?
That is what happens when one gambles. Dyuta Krida is supposed to be one of the most prohibited activities for all of us. Amongst the four, one is Parastri Gaman, that is Vyabhichar, and engaging in relationship with other person than your married spouse. For women, for man, both. Out of marriage connection. That is one big pillar of sin. Second pillar of sin is intoxicating oneself with intoxicants, with chemicals, whatever intoxicant. Third is eating out of unnecessary killing innocent animals. Creating violence and eating out of that is third. And fourth is Dhruta Krida, is gambling. And these four are supposed to be Mahapap, one who destroys the living entity if you do any of these four things. And one of them was Dhruta Krida. It bewildered him so much, such a great name, Yudhishthir. One is so composed, he was such a bewildered personality. He didn't know what he was doing. Lost all his composure, all his goodness, everything was finished. And all life after that, Draupadi kept on questioning him, how you can battle on me, bet on me, while you lost yourself. He couldn't answer that question. Because that moment was such kind of time influence was there on him. Why? It wouldn't have happened to him otherwise, if he was not gambling the way he was gambling. So that's how it is. What Lord is teaching us, even if you are Yudhishthir and you do wrong things, you have to suffer the consequence. No excuse for you because you are Yudhishthir. because you are Arjun. No excuse. Whatever action one does, there is a good or bad reaction to that. Any other question anybody has? Yes, madam. That is because Kshatriya, again I said, if one is a bona fide, qualified Kshatriya, I explained some qualities of Kshatriya just now. If one is qualified like that, he is allowed to marry more than one. Good question. It is all the relevance of all these situations are in the previous yuga. I may be unable to explain to you every details of that because I am a man of Kali Yuga and we are talking about norms of a previous yuga. Or if I talk about norms in the Swarga Loka, I mean, she was supposed to be his grandmother, but then she was a young woman in front of him, wanted to marry him, wanted to have a relation with him. So norms at different times and different places and different circumstances are different. That's only I can say.
Yeah.
They had their perspective.
From their perspective, if you look, they were right. That's the reason they were went to heaven.
Who?
The Kauravas. When Yudhishthira went to heaven, he found all of them there.
Yes.
Because it was shown that they followed their karma.
They went to Swarga because one fact which we miss is that all of them were killed in front of Krishna. The scriptures explain us that even if we are demons and we get killed in front of Krishna or by Krishna, by that activity of getting killed in front of him or by him, we get completely purified and we qualify to go back to the kingdom of God. So they didn't go by their own virtue, but they were fortunate enough to die in front of Krishna. So today morning I was hearing, when I was getting ready, Srila Prabhupada's one lecture. He said that imagine if somebody is demoniac in nature and he just dies in front of Krishna as an enemy of Krishna. He gets this destination. What to speak of devotees who love him, who serve him, who always surrender their lives to him. How he would treat them? How would he give them destination? Those people. That very beautiful point he made in the morning. That all of them who died in the battle of Kurukshetra, in Mahabharata war, they all went back home, back to Godhead. Being enemies of Krishna's friends and enemies of Krishna himself. What to speak of those who loved Krishna like Arjuna and Yudhishthira. We should understand it like that. So yes, everybody has his own perspective. Duryodhana had his own perspective. He was thinking, I am right in my own way. Pandavas had their perspective. But there is something called as absolute perspective, which rules the proceedings of this world. Is that right? There's something called absolute, right? The person who breaks the signal, he feels, I didn't break the signal. Oh, so what? I break the signal. I'm in a hurry. I want to go for emergency. And the police says, no, you have broken the signal. You have to pay the penalty and give your license to me. Both of them are right from their own sense. But still, the law of the state prevails. Ultimately, the person who breaks the red signal, he goes to whatever punishment that he has to go. The point I'm trying to make is, Duryodhana had his own perspective and Pandavas had their own perspective. But the Lord has his own absolute perspective. And Lord's rule prevails. Finally, those who followed Lord's rules, you see the result. So there is something called as relativity and absolute. We also studied in physics, right? Science of relativity. Things are relatively different here and there. But something remains constant and ruling. And that we have to understand, that we have to follow. And that's what is taught over here. What are the absolute rules and regulations? Yes, madam.
During Mahabharata itself, Krishna was found to be cunning somewhere, sometimes. So who was there to judge that, whether he is right or wrong?
Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. This is what is said by Vyasadev. The Lord may appear to be doing things which are sometimes illogical or immoral in one sense. But Lord does all those things with the people of that kind. He did all those things to establish the truth and the dharma. He had to kill Karna in the wrong way, breaking the rule of the war, because he knew if Karna, let Arjun kill like this, he will live, and he is such an immoral person. He has called Draupadi a prostitute in the assembly of big, big warriors. Such person becomes a king, then what the world will be like? So even the wrong or right means a wrong person should be killed. So he said, Arjun, don't wait for the rule and regulation here. This is the time, right or wrong way, kill this wrong person. Same way he said, if Dronacharya, who is supporting wrong side, if he lives, Duryodhana will become king. When they are supporting him, they are not fighting for themselves to become king. They were fighting all to support Duryodhana to make him king. So even that's why Bhishmadeva had to die. Krishna had to tell ultimately Yudhishthir, Yudhishthir, go and ask your grandfather how to kill you. Yudhishthir said, I cannot ask him like this. I worshipped him. I was raised in his lap. He is so much worshipable to me. He said, then you sit here only and let Duryodhana become king. So ultimate goal was always told to them that I am not favoring you because I love you. I know you are the right person to become king. You are a dharma personified. That's why I want you to become king. Not that because you are my friend, I want to become you to king. You to become a king. So that's how Bhishmadeva fell down. Then Dronacharya had another weakness. So he said, use this weakness to kill him right now. Otherwise, he will kill all of you. He has such power. He is a guru. What to speak of you? Everybody will be killed. But by that, what will happen? Duryodhana will become king of the world. And adharma will be established. So Drona fell down. Then Karna came. Karna in any situation, in normal battle, couldn't have been defeated by anybody. He was so powerful. But he had done such wrong things in life. He had achieved curses in that time. Many times he offended people and cheated people. So he had curses. All those curses came upon him at the right time in the war. Krishna said, use this time and kill him. Otherwise, for eternity you will keep fighting with him and you will never get him defeated. He will kill you very soon. So why Krishna did all those so-called wrong things, that we have to understand. There was none of his selfish purposes. His purpose was only one thing. Dharma sthapana. He wanted the world to be in right hands. That is why Bhishmadeva also lived even after falling down. Till the time he saw Yudhishthir being the king, sitting on the Hastinapur Singhasan. He continued living till he wanted to see with his own eyes that my dear Yudhishthir, the right person, has become the king of the universe. And then he left his body. So Krishna is a very difficult personality to understand. Lord Ramchandra is a very easy personality to understand. When the Supreme Lord came as Lord Ramchandra, very simple and straightforward, Maryada Purushottam. How one should be ideal father, ideal son, ideal brother, ideal this, ideal king, ideal son, everything ideal he exhibited.
But ideal husband.
Ideal husband also. We have to study the personality and not go on superficial things. What we do is, we with our current mind, with current relativity, try to judge Ramchandra of Treta Yuga. This is what we misjudge. You have to go in that situation and understand. He was not out of his great wish he did all this, whatever he did. He had much, much higher responsibilities. There's a book series coming now. Rise of the Sun Prince. Six volumes, the whole Ramayana will be explained very beautifully. Two volumes are already coming out. Already out. And each and every aspect of every activity that Lord Ram did is explained very beautifully in that. There are many Ramayans. One is Valmiki Ramayana, one is Tulsi Ramayana, one is Kamba Ramayana. There are many other Ramayans which are South India, North India. And each and every activity of the Lord, the saintly people are explaining why he did what he did. And that with humble mind we should understand. And relativity also is important. We are talking about, few lakhs of years before the situation and the rules and regulations that time, trying to understand with our current situations. So Sri Krishna is a complete manifestation of Supreme Personality of Godhead as Purna Purushottama. He exhibited all his opulences in one incarnation as Purna Purushottama, as Sri Krishna. So he did many things which are inconceivable and difficult to understand by common mind, common man. That is why we need a guru to explain to us all the intricate realities about the activities of Krishna. There is one verse in Bhagavad Gita which explains that janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tattvatah, which means only if you understand the divinity or the transcendental nature of the appearance of the Lord, janma and karma, the divya leela of the Lord, even if you understand the transcendental nature, the divine nature of his activities and the divine nature of his birth, that itself is eligible for you to enter in the kingdom of God and understand the principle of absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is what we are talking about, Sri Krishna, not as Arjuna's friend or son of Nanda or a cowherd man or so many things. We are talking about Supreme Personality of Godhead who has 64 qualities incomplete. That personality who rules the whole creation, who is the generator of everything, destroyer of everything, the controller of everything, the master of everybody, father of everybody. We are talking about that personality. And if you understand his divine position, then you will understand the divine nature of all his activities also. And then you will come to know all what he does is absolute. But people of small intelligence, then they fight finding fault. Like you start looking at the moon and say, see how many dots are there on that. The way we do, looking at the dots on the moon, we look at the Lord and say, he did this wrong and did that wrong. That means you bring him to our level of a common man and then find faults in him. That's what we do. But we practice spirituality properly when you understand who you are and who he is. And whatever he did will be very clearly understood by you with no confusion what he did for.
Sir, one interesting thing, yes, sir. A lot of characters of Ramayana in Mahabharata.
Yes.
There are 15 such people.
One is Hanumanji.
One is Hanumanji, one is Vibhishan.
Yes.
And a few gurus, Parshuram is one.
Yes. Yeah, they lived over the Jambuvan is there also.
Yeah,
Jambuvan is there also.
So how come, I mean, what is the time period?
Some personalities they live, maybe all yugas they live. Like Kakabhushundi is one personality. When he was cursed to one rishi became, he was cursed to become a crow. He lived all throughout the ages, all time. Markandeya Muni lived for 7 kalpas. They are different personalities of different yugas.
Vibhishan was a king. I mean, he was not a lonely person or something. But he is also...
He was very godly person, by the way. Very saintly personality. Great saintly personality.
He is also believed to live throughout
the... Yes. Yes. Hanumanji, Garuda, Kakabhushundi, Vibhishan, Ashwatthama. So many people are there. They may not be visible to our mortal eyes, but once we get pure-hearted... we will have their darshan. There is a place where you can go and have darshan of Ashwatthama. Once you become completely cleansed at the spiritual level, where you achieve a very transcendental spiritual level, you can see Ashwatthama. There is one place in Barsana, in Mathura, called Pipasa One.
Son,
Ashwatthama. He lives there. And many Buzurg people have taken his darshan. Those who have attained transcendental realization and spiritual status, they have seen him also. So spiritual life is a very powerful tool of realizing many things which are absurd looking now. But when you realize them, you have realized them. You cannot now say that I don't believe them.
So what was the religion when Mahabharata happened?
Sanatan Dharma. Nothing like Hinduism. Only there were 4 varnas and 4 ashramas. Chaturvarnya, Maya system, Gunakarma Vibhagashaha. There was Brahmins, there were Kshatriyas, there were Vaishyas, there were Shudras. There were Brahmacharis, Grahasthas, Vanprasthas, Sannyasi. Only this existed.
So and how come Mahabharata is worshipped by only
Hindu? Hindu is not a scriptural word. Hindu is a word has come off late from history. Those people who lived at the bank of Sindhu River, who followed the Aryan culture, the Sanatan Dharma, they were called by other people as Hindus. कैसे बोलते हैं ये मल्लू है ये मद्रासी है. इट इज देर नॉट मद्रासी, दे जस्ट लिव्ड इन मद्रास. दे विल स्पीक मल्लू लैंग्वेज, मलयालम लैंग्वेज. दैट्स हाउ वी एड्रेस देम, बिकॉज ये तो केरला के लोग हैं तो मल्लू भाषा बोलते. दैट्स हाउ अदर्स हु आर नॉट फॉलोइंग आर्यन रिलीजन, आर्यन प्रिंसिपल्स ऑफ लाइफ और सनातन धर्म प्रिंसिपल्स ऑफ लाइफ, दे लाइक यू नो रेडिकुलस लिटिल बिट, नॉट रेडिकुलस बट इन अ लाइट लाइटर वे दे कॉल्ड हिम से हिंदूज. सो हिंदू इज अ वर्ड यू कैन नेवर फाइंड इन एनी स्क्रिप्चर एनीवेयर. नॉट अ सिंगल वर्स विल बी देयर डिफाइनिंग हु इज अ हिंदू. बट हिस्टोरिकली वी अंडरस्टैंड दोज वर पीपल हु फॉलोड द प्रोग्रेसिव वैल्यूज ऑफ लाइफ एज अ कल्चर ऑफ देयर ओन लाइफ. And we are all supposed to be like those people. Not because I am born in Hindu family, I say these are great people. All those who follow the order of the Lord, follow the principles given by the Lord, they are all Aryans. All great people. And amongst Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishudra, none of them is higher or lower. They have their own propensity and they do particular things. People who worship, they have particular propensity. Kshatriyas have particular capacity of admin and war and everything. And Vaishyas have trade propensities and Shudras have helping propensities. None of them are higher or low. If they do their job perfectly, they all go back to Godhead. It's not only Brahmins go back to Godhead who worship the Lord every day. It's not necessary. If one follows his Varna and Ashram perfectly and the rules and regulations of his Varna and his Ashram, kingdom of door, God is open for you. We have to just be perfect in our situation. I can't imitate a person whom I am not having propensity for. Just because he is a great personality, I want to become like him. I don't have any propensity. I can't stand in the war with AK-47. I have to have propensity for that. So, at that time, there were divisions in society. But today's divisions are simply based on color, caste, creed, language, nationality. These are all bogus distinctions. All the land belongs to the Lord. And we have made divisions into India, Pakistan and Bhutan and Nepal and America and England. This is our divisions. God has not made any divisions. We are making further more divisions than that. But God's land is one. And you're supposed to use it for your own purpose and for serving the Lord and make your life perfect. It is like that. So all these religions and subdivisions and subcastes and sub-sub-subcastes are all made by us actually. Just to prove that how I am superior to you, how I am higher than you. When Brahmins started thinking they are higher than other people, that is where Kali Yuga entered. In Varnashram system, Brahmin feels I am the servant of all the other three. Kshatriya feels I am the servant of all the other three. Vaishya feels I am supposed to serve all the three. And Shudra feels I am also supposed to serve all the three. All of them are in service mode. At that time, all of them go back to God in the end of their life. But when one person thinks, I am superior, I will rule, Kali Yuga enters. And that's how all the disaster is taking place. It began with Brahminical people misusing their position, trying to ridicule others and subdue others. If I understand, I am the servant of the Lord and a servant of everybody who is part and parcel of God. And I don't need to be Brahmin, I don't need to be Kshatriya, I don't need to be anything. I am what I am, that's it. And that will take you to the highest happiness when you are here, and it will take you to the highest destination when you leave this world. Any other question is there? Anybody has any question? Again, Dravidians and Aryans, they were also geographical distinctions. Dravidians were those who little bit violated the Aryan way of life, went to south direction. And they started believing that the Lord has no personality. He is impersonal. He has no hands, eyes, nothing. He is nirakar, nirvikar. So they differed in their ideology, in their conceptual situation. The real thing is, the Lord is a person. He is like you and me. His body is different than yours and mine, but he is like you and me only. He has personality, he has arms and eyes and ears like we have. He is our father. But his body is transcendental, our body is Martya, Nashwar. But they differed from that. They chose to go away from this concept. And they separated themselves. And they went to south. They were Dravidians.
So, many history, we can say that the Aryans are not
No, Prabhuji. No. This is all people who don't believe in God, they have distorted the history like anything. What we read today as history is totally distorted. Politically, today morning, after evening, we were discussing in our core group meeting that politically, whoever was strong, they proposed their pathy or philosophy ahead and subdued others. And today we understand that as standard. Because that time politically he was able to push his logic ahead. Even when Darwin proposed his theory, 76% of scientists did not agree with him. But politically he was powerful, so today Darwin's theory is in your textbook. And we believe strongly that I was a monkey before, now I become a human being. Which is not true. Which is never true. We have never seen today a monkey giving birth to human beings. Or whatever the sequence he has given to us. But because he was politically strong that time, he could push his logic in such a way that today you and me have in history books and we believe it so strongly. We like to say all these things because we don't want to agree the fact that AIDS has come because of illicit connections. That fact we don't want to accept. So we want to blame the monkey and some pig or somebody like that. Some bird or something like that. We violate from our principle of life, and that has a consequence. God gives a disease when we break the law. And then we interpret in such a way that we are clean. See that particular monkey, see that particular animal, he is the culprit. Yes, sir.
Is there any mention of a life beyond earth as well?
It is very descriptively available. All the beyond earth lives are very detailed explanation is there. For example, what explanation is there is that there is one universe which is composed of 14 planetary systems, not only one planet and 14 and 14 here. Each is a system, like a galaxy you can say. So 7 higher systems, 1 earthly system and 6 lower systems. Group of, you can say galaxy in our terminology, current terminology. So Earth is one level of existence, where typically miseries are more and happiness is little. Then you go to higher planets, and as you go higher and higher and higher, the happiness called as so-called as material happiness part of it goes on increasing and material misery goes on decreasing. And from gross it becomes subtle and subtle and subtle. And miseries goes on decreasing and minimizing. And when you go to highest, hardly any misery is there. And lots of happiness, gross and subtle, is there. When you go down, it is different way. And there is a lot of detailed description is given, which planet consisting of what kind of activities and who goes there, and what kind of thought processes prevail there, where demons prevail, where do they stay, in this planet what happens, that planet what happens. And then there is descriptions of hellish planets, 27 of them, below the 6th lowest planetary system. Read 3rd canto. This is Srimad Bhagavad Gita. There is one scripture called Srimad Bhagavatam. On the 3rd and the 5th part of that scripture, all this is given in total details. Amazing details are given in that. What happens in each system, who lives and how does, what kind of activities take place there, who rules. But one verse is there in Bhagavad Gita which explains, A Brahma Bhuvanar Loka Punaravrityuno Arjuna. From the topmost planet of Brahmaloka to the downmost planet of the hellish condition, everywhere repeated birth and death take place. So my dear Arjuna, never put your heart into those situations which have ultimately in ending in birth and death. Adyantu vantu komteya natetu nateshu ramate buddha. Intelligent men never put their heart in those things which has a beginning and end. So what makes us spiritual when we study? Is this thing having beginning and end? Okay, I don't want to dwell in that. Whatever things I come across has no beginning and no end, eternal, that is spiritual. I will dwell in that. That's what Krishna advised to Arjuna.
Thank you.
So the facts about all these different existences is, wherever you go higher and lower, repeated birth and death take place. Lifespan may be different, but it will begin sometime and it will end sometime. And here, birth and death, in between, disease and old age also is there. Jara and Vyadhi also is there. There, Jara and Vyadhi are not so much prevalent. Only birth and death is there. Only in between enjoyment for millions of years is there. But finally, if you have to come down anyways, after ending your karma, what's the point? You fly in the sky, fly. Finally, when petrol gets over, you have to land on the earth sometime. So life in the higher planets is like flying in the aeroplane. Till the time fuel is there, you live there. Till the time your stock of good karma is there, punya karma, you live there. Punya karma, you enjoy, you finish. One day zero, again you come down. Shne punya martya loke vishanti. When your punya becomes zero, again martya loka, that is earthly planet. Again start again. Why waste time? Doing trial and error again and again. Just take shelter of your science and understand who we are, what we are supposed to do, and what's the destiny of life we need to attain. And this very lifetime, without going anywhere from here, we can attain the highest destination. That science is given here. As the essence of Mahabharata also, as the essence of all the Vedas also. This is called as if the Veda is supposed to be a cow, for example. And when you milk the cow, that milk is Bhagavad Gita. The milkman is Krishna and the calf is Arjuna. And he is milking and the milk is drunk by the calf, Arjuna. And that's how is a perfect situation. We don't need to study the whole cow, just drink the milk. The essence will be given to you of the cow. That is Bhagavad Gita. It's very interesting scripture, I'm telling you. The more you read, more years you spend in understanding and reading, is such a pleasure. It will take you above the happenings of your life. Suffering, enjoyment, whatever you, it will just take you beyond. And you can remain on that platform and enjoy it forever without getting affected by what's happening on the other level in life. That is why it's called as transcendental scripture. The scripture which takes you above the routine worldly life and gives you higher pleasure. That is transcendental. It makes your life transcendental. By studying such a transcendental literature, you become transcendental. When you board the plane, you also go in the skies, right? Along with the plane. But you have to board the plane. So when you board this plane, you also become transcendental. So should we end? Your permission? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. We'll chant one time mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Again, I want to express my heartfelt gratitude to all of you. Thank you so much.